went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost. Better keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. And the best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. That is the best way to get a hold of me. But I do not receive texts, so please don't try to text me. If you want to do the word thing, then you should email me. You should email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to answer your emails or to receive your phone call. You can come to a free healthcare class held every Tuesday evening at 6:30. You could come to the office for a consultation. I don't really care how you get a hold of me. If you have a need when your health matters, I would like to be the person that fills that need for you, gives you the straight truth on what's going on with your health. It's not interested in putting you on the treadmill of treatment and putting you on lifetime medications and constantly having you come back for further tests to make sure that what the treatment is that's supposed to help you isn't killing you, because we know that that goes on in our healthcare system. And I don't want to set you up for needing life-altering surgery where you're never the same ever again. And I find that morally and ethically reprehensible. That's my perspective. It may not be your perspective. My hope is that by helping you understand your health better, that you can actually take control of your health and exercise your birthright to be healthy. That is our God-given birthright, and not very many people know how to exercise it based on the health of our country. And the man that helps me elucidate or create clarity for you on these different health topics, his name is Mark Sabin, and he's in studio with me. He's a father. He's a entrepreneur. He's a business owner. He's the vice president of his company. He's a interfaith minister. He's a Tai Chi expert and an all-around good guy. And we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. We, you know, last week we had such an impassioned discussion about healthcare. And one of the things that came up in that conversation is an issue that people may have where they actually could think they're having a heart attack, and what they actually have is something that's going on more in the stomach area. So I know that you've said before that you think that the stomach is widely misunderstood. Why is that?
Well, besides the obvious national abuse and poor treatment, the stomach and the care of the stomach and the remedying of all the stomach issues is having little to no true resolution for the people with the problem. People continue to take antacids, are prescribed proton pump inhibitors, and are not addressing the real issues. In fact, most of the treatment is increasing the problem and creating new problems not attributed to from the original problem that started in the stomach.
Well, it's interesting. The first thing you talk about is stomach acid, but that acid is pretty essential to be able to break down the food you're eating. So if you're diminishing the acid content of your stomach, you can't break your food down, can you?
No, you cannot, and you will manifest health concerns, and I'm sure we'll get into that as we go.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, 60 million Americans arise, you know, they get some kind of stomach problem whenever they eat, and you see the commercials all the time. Oh, this person's having pizza, or they're having tacos, and it's causing indigestion, and heartburn is the one that we hear about all the time. When somebody complains about heartburn or having an acid stomach or acid indigestion, what is actually going on there?
Well, when somebody has that, there's probably the lack of proper chewing. There's a lack of sufficient stomach acid that is secreted by the stomach to break things down that are in the stomach.
The lack of acid?
Lack
is
of acid.
So, cause acid stomach?
But let me finish explaining. So when you don't break down your proteins properly, they're going to stay in your stomach to finish breaking down. Well, if you've combined those proteins with carbohydrates, which started getting broken down by the chewing in your mouth, assuming that you actually chew properly, the carbohydrates that are being broken down are sitting in the stomach waiting for the proteins to finish. If the proteins aren't being broken down sufficiently, then the carbohydrates are actually going to continue to break down and they're going to start to ferment. And the fermentation process creates acids of fermentation. It's those acids of fermentation that create the gas, the bloating, the indigestion, the heartburn, the upset stomach. All of those things are the fermentation of the carbohydrates that are sitting in the stomach because you can't break your proteins down sufficiently because you don't have enough stomach acid to break the proteins down. Now, your gallbladder, which controls the lower esophageal sphincter and also controls the pyloric sphincter at the other end of your stomach, when that opens to let the food out to go forward, the gallbladder assesses, is it ready or not? If it's ready, it lets the food go forward. If it's not ready, the gallbladder is going to send it back to the stomach for complete further evaluation and digestion and breakdown. And that's what ends up creating the thing called reflux.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the reflux is really, really severe, the lower esophageal sphincter at the beginning of the stomach is going to open up, and now you're going to get that reflux that goes up into your esophagus, causing gastroesophageal reflux disease, or what's called GERD.
That burning thing that
right.
happens.
And you know, the VERPs that people get and just the unpleasantness that goes on in the esophagus and all that. And all of that is controlled and regulated by your ability to chew your food properly, your ability to have enough stomach acid to break down what's now in your stomach, and preparing it appropriately so that the gallbladder, which controls all digestive problems, so that the gallbladder is there and is going to allow the food to come forward. Then you have normal digestion.
Mm-hmm.
But if any of that isn't occurring properly, you're going to get reflux, heartburn, indigestion, gastritis, reflux disease, all of those kinds of issues.
So when the fermentation is happening, one of the things that happens as a consequence of the fermentation is it develops gas. So
yes.
It expands. And then your stomach doesn't have the room in it because it's filled with these gases.
Right. So when a gas is produced, if you're under the water in the ocean and you create a bubble, where does the bubble go naturally?
It floats up.
floats up. So when you're doing the same thing in your stomach and you create gas, where is that gas going to want to go?
It's going to want to go up.
It's going to want to go up. That's what puts pressure on the lower esophageal sphincter. And when the sphincter gets irritated enough, it's just going to relax to let the gas out. That's when somebody burps. When somebody's burping, guess what I already know is a problem? They have a gallbladder stress and they don't have enough digestive enzymes or possibly not enough hydrochloric acid to take care of what's sitting in the stomach, and your body's giving you an indication that it doesn't have enough of what it needs to do the job properly.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part is you go to your gastroenterologist or your medical doctor, and the medical doctor says, well, it sounds like you're having indigestion, so let's give you an antacid because it sounds like you have too much acid. Well, the only way you're going to know they have too much acid is to do an acid test. And I don't know why they're not doing more of them. But what they'll find is if they do an acid test, it's not about not having low enough stomach pH. It's about the pH is actually too high. It's still in the acidic realm. It's just not strong enough acid to mm-hmm. break the things down. So that's why you get the fermentation, which creates the gas and bloating and all of that that goes with it.
And so then you're treating the symptoms, which is all that's really happening there with these antacids and things like that.
Is there anything in the medical profession that isn't about treating symptoms, Mark?
Not from my only discussions with you, I think not.
Right, because they're the whole model of medical perspective is about masking, treating, and going after symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about fixing problems. There's no money to be made by fixing problems. There's lots of money researching why the problem's there, but there's no money to be made in actually fixing the problem, which is why we have all the charities, so to speak, the fundraising things, the races, the walks for, all of this, the donating money for all these different health concerns and research projects that we have that aren't really solving anything.
Now, is just the foods you eat, is that what's going to be related to the problem of all this acid indigestion? So if you stop eating, if it's pizza or tacos or coffee or alcohol, are those things going to stop the problem?
Oh, they could if they're the irritant that's irritating the system.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that response is not so much about what you're eating. It's about how you're feeling either before or during what you're eating.
Hmm.
Okay. So if let's say you're a person who isn't widely accepted in your peer group, okay, male or female, mm-hmm. it really doesn't matter. Okay. You don't have a lot of really close friends. You don't have a group of people that you hang out with. You don't, you know, it's interesting. My youngest brother has a large sphere of friends. His college friends, his high school friends, his work friends, they all hang out together because he's blessed enough to have a big, huge peer group that he can hang out with no matter what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there are other people that don't fit into that kind of thing, and they're socially awkward. Maybe they don't have a high self-esteem. Maybe they're just an introvert and they aren't somebody who's outgoing and engaging in all of that. And on a Friday night, they don't necessarily have much to do. Some of these people get caught up in the video game world, and because they can put on their particular persona and they have an avatar or what have you that makes them be perceived as being, and that's why there's the addictions to those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, the point I'm getting to is if this person has some level of self-esteem issue, they're going to have stomach problems. Why? Because self-esteem is a stomach, spleen, pancreas emotion. And if you're experiencing low self-esteem, that's tied to your sense of taste. And so what are you going to do when you're feeling bad about how you feel? You're going to probably reach for a food that's going to stimulate your sense of taste. And what do you think the sense of taste that you're going to naturally reach for, Mark?
Well, the number one one would be sugar.
Correct, because 80% of your taste buds are devoted towards sweetness. So there's an 80% chance when you don't feel good about yourself, you're going to reach for what kind of food?
Oh, a pint of ice cream or
right.
cookies,
cakes, sodas,
candy,
fruit
soda.
Juices, something sweet and sugary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what that does, if you combine it with a protein, is going to create that fermentation process because mm-hmm. it's going to hinder the protein's ability to break itself down if they're combined at the same time. So I always talk about you want to separate your foods and you want to eat them in a specific order to take the stress out of your stomach so that you're not creating heartburn, nausea, indigestion, upset stomach, all those Pepto-Bismol symptoms that they sing about on the television. Okay. If you eat your carbohydrates first, then you don't need stomach acid. If you eat your proteins last and you don't have enough stomach acid, well, then your stomach can take whatever time it needs. Why? Because the carbohydrates have already gone through and have left the area. Then the gallbladder is going to be happy. It's not going to create the gas and the bloating. Why? Because they're separated. So I encourage people, eat your refined carbohydrates, your simple pastas, your rices and your noodles and those kinds. Eat that first. Eat your complex carbohydrates as far as your vegetables go second, and eat your proteins and fats last. And then your digestive system won't have an issue. But if you combine them all in one meal and you eat it all at the same time, you're going to create the basis for fermentation for the simple fact that you probably don't have a strong enough stomach acid to break it all down. And then you get those gases and acids of fermentation, creating the upset stomach and the indigestion.
Mm-hmm. It would make me wonder, you know, there's all this talk about people using these low-carb diets and things like that because they're oriented towards losing weight. But it would seem that if you're taking some of those highly refined products out of your diet, the pastas, the rice, things like that, the breads, that you're going to get the benefit of some of the things that you're saying about without focusing exactly on trying to get rid of, you know, a stomach acid problem.
Right. And at the end of the day, what's important to understand is if you're chewing your food well, and that's the most important thing to do. That's the first part of digestion, is making sure that you chew your food well. And you actually chew it as opposed to eating it and swallowing it like a shark, which is how most people do because they got time constraints, et cetera. If you really, truly chew your food, you won't ever have health problems.
Wow, that's a pretty simple solution.
Pretty much regardless of what you eat, if you chew it properly, you're preparing your digestive system to handle it, and your digestive system will handle it. Now, if you're only eating the same thing all day, every day, and that's got certain deficiencies and certain excesses and some nutrients and deficiencies in others, then you'll eventually develop an imbalance because you're not getting a well-rounded source of nutrition. But if you simply chew your food well and allow the stomach to do its job, you won't have any stomach upset. You won't have any of the symptoms that the television commercials tell you to need this product in order to get over that. You just won't have the problems. Then you won't need the medication.
Now, I began the show with the thought of something that we had talked about a little bit last week, and that was you had told the story about somebody going into the emergency room thinking they were having a heart attack because they had chest pains and they had shoulder pains, and they would have to check them out for a heart attack, but it wasn't actually having a heart attack. It was something called a hiatal hernia.
Now, those are very, very common. I mean, I treat at least a dozen of them a week.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of what we just talked about in terms of people's food habits and their ability to chew their food. Most people are under the stress of deadlines, and they don't even leave their workstation to have lunch. They eat at their workstation. You know, it's quick, shove it in and get back to work because you got deadlines, you got requirements, et cetera. And it's like, okay, nobody actually chews their food very well. So when you get that heartburn, the indigestion, the gas, the bloating, we talked about, which way does the gas flow, Mark?
It wants to go up.
Wants to go up. So that pressure builds up into that part of your stomach. And in an effort to solve it, your lower esophageal sphincter, which sits at the bottom of the esophagus to start the stomach, opens up to allow the gas out. Well, when the diaphragm expands to open up the lower esophageal sphincter, and you got all this stuff going on in the stomach, and the gallbladder is saying, go back from whence you came, don't come down here until you've fully done the job. Which way do you think the stomach ends up going?
Wants to also go.
It also goes up. And when it pushes through that hiatus in the diaphragm, you get what's called a hiatal hernia. Now, you got pressure on the diaphragm. The nerve that goes to the diaphragm, known as the phrenic nerve, comes out of the same area in your neck that goes to your shoulder. So can you understand how you might get a referral of pain into your shoulder if that isn't working properly?
Makes sense.
So now you got shoulder pain. You got the stomach pushing up through the diaphragm and sitting right in front of the esophagus, right above the diaphragm, is that organ that we talked about was it? Two weeks ago,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Known as your what?
Heart.
Right. So now your heart's being crowded. How do you think your heart feels about being crowded?
I don't think it likes it too much.
It's going to become irregular. Why? Because it's being crowded, and you're going to get arrhythmias, and you're going to get palpitations, and you're going to get atrial fibrillation and all of these things. Why? Because your stomach is crowding it. So they do all the heart tests, and they find out, well, you're not having a heart attack. We'll send you to your cardiologist for them to follow up, but we know you didn't have a heart attack. Well, what is it that's going on then? Well, ask your cardiologist. No. Call me. I'll tell you exactly what's going on, because I treat probably at least five a week every week for the last 30 years. It's called a hiatal hernia. The stomach is pushed up through the diaphragm. Great. I do what I need to do to fix it. Takes about, literally, Mark, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 30 seconds, the person sits up and they're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I can breathe again. All that shoulder discomfort's gone. I can take a full breath. My heart's not even being irregular anymore. All of that stuff. All of that goes away because of a hiatal hernia. Just fix it.
Just fix that little thing. That's interesting. Now, another issue that comes along on the track of the stomach is food poisoning. What happens when you get food poisoning?
Well, food poisoning is typically a misnomer. It's just, it's you're not being poisoned. It means that you've consumed something that your system doesn't either want to handle or doesn't know how to handle. You've developed potentially a sensitivity to it. And what the gallbladder says is, we don't like this. We don't want this. Get it the hell out. So it reverses the flow, and if it's a really strong, healthy gallbladder response, guess what's going to happen?
You're going to
throw up.
You're going to throw up.
Okay. And they'll say, well, you must have eaten something that was bad for you, or you must have gotten food poisoning. So it's not so much poisoning, meaning it's not like you ingested cyanide or something those lines. It's just that you're having a response that causes you to have reflux and even throwing up. And that's a healthy gallbladder that makes you throw up. It won't let it go any further than that. You know what? We're actually going to kick it out of the body. That's a healthy response.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it appropriately, then you should just immediately feel better, and then you should be able to go on and eat and have it not be an issue. Not eat the same thing, of course, because your body said no to that thing. But you should be able to go forward. And what's interesting is the number of years that I used to treat at least two food poisonings a day for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, at least two people would come into my office with what would be called the food poisoning reflex. It's actually an irritated bile duct system. And when you reset the bile duct, then it goes away. You give them a particular supplement. It cleans out the bile duct passageway, and then you don't have the nausea the next 6 or 7 times that you eat because your body keeps repeating the same process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. If you get what is considered, quote, food poisoning, and you don't address it appropriately, the next several times that you eat, you're going to feel the same thing, and you're going to be like, you know what? I don't want to eat because I can't eat because I got this problem going on. And you go to your gastroenterologist, and they don't necessarily have the first level of understanding as to what you did. So they're going to give you a symptom masking medication. They're going to give you an anti-nausea thing, and hopefully you can keep food down. So what have they done? They've turned off your gallbladder. Now you got bigger problems, and now you're chasing problems rather than fixing problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so 9 times out of 10, it's a real simple. I'll tell the audience listener what they should do. You should keep some apple cider vinegar available at home. Anytime you get the symptoms of what you might think would be food poisoning, take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, put it in about 2 ounces of water, and throw it back like a shot. And do that on an empty stomach. And that will flush the gallbladder out so that she can go back to eating food without having any of that nausea.
That's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing. Now, what is a stomach ulcer, and how does that happen, and what can you do about something like that?
Well, a lot of times people have heard of this, quote, bacterium called H. pylori.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the lining of the stomach has gone out of balance with its pH, okay, and it actually promotes an area of alkalinity, which you need an alkaline environment and for bacteria to grow. Okay, so you get a patch of alkalinity, which is going to promote the growth of abnormal bacteria. And one of those bacteria, you could get H. pylori. Now, they are sometimes associated with ulcers, but they're not always associated with ulcers. So my experience, my direct experience with ulcers, I got what I thought could have been an ulcer, and I was the one who came up with the diagnosis while I was being evaluated by a student doctor while I was in chiropractic school. My clinician, when he was done asking the student doctor what they thought my problem was, and the student doctor was having difficulty coming up with what the diagnosis could be, the clinician turned and looked at me and he says, "Well, you're the one with the problem. What do you think the problem is?" And I said to him, I said, "Dr. Humphreys, I got to be honest with you. I've never experienced it. I don't know what it feels like, but if I was to imagine, I would imagine that I have an ulcer." He says, "Why would you say that?" I said, "Well, it bothers me when I eat. It doesn't bother me after I eat, and it makes me not want to eat." And he's like, "Okay, well, let's look up the definition of an ulcer." And we looked up what the definition was, and I had pretty much described it to a T. And he's just like, "Okay." So then he asked the student doctor, "Okay, well, what would you do if it was an ulcer?" And that we talked about tests, and we talked about treatment, and we talked about this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, okay, well, for me, in my practice now, it's about assessing, okay, is the stomach reflex out of balance? What's causing the stomach reflex to be out of balance? Is it related to a ulcer? There's a reflex specifically for peptic ulcers. There's a reflex for duodenal ulcers. There's a reflex for different types of ulcers, and I'll evaluate them for it. And if they have it, then we treat it appropriately. We give them some healing supplements that is going to help heal the ulcer. We may tell them to go to the store and get some aloe vera juice and drink it, because that's going to soothe the burning to allow the stomach to start healing. And we just address whatever the irritant is and what the underlying cause is, and allow the body to heal.
It's important that it all comes down to eventually what you allow for is the body to heal itself.
It's what God designed it to do, Mark.
It's what God designed it to do. Well, this is a great conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to ask you some questions about another part of the body, the thyroid.
Wonderful. So, listener, I appreciate you tuning in. Come back for the second part of our show, which is going to be about thyroid, evidently. And that's an interesting organ that lots of people have issues with. And I'd like to give you some clarity on why you may have yours and what you can do to remedy that. And please listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today, Mark and I have been talking about stomach health, and I think you said you wanted to shift gears and go to another part of the earth element, because we're in the earth element season now. And I think one of those things, it's actually still part of the fire element, but it's in that transition. And
yes, we
want to talk
the
about
late summer and
the thyroid.
Like the thyroid, yeah. You know, first of all, what is the thyroid gland, and what does it do for your health?
Well, the thyroid gland itself is a gland. It represents your ability to speak your truth. It's an endocrine gland that regulates metabolism. It regulates body temperature.
It's right there in your throat, right?
It's a backup to the heart as far as heart rate goes, and it sits right below where your Adam's apple would be. If you're a male, you can put your finger on that. If you're a woman and it's not very prominent, then you may not notice it. But it's this section that sits right below your Adam's apple. That's where your thyroid gland sits. And that correlates with people who are energetic healers and understand the chakra system. It correlates with your throat chakra, which is your ability to speak your truth.
And now, I think I read somewhere that the thyroid is really considered a master, the master hormone in the body. Does it, because it controls everything? Is that accurate?
Well, the thyroid is important, but it does have a boss. It's called the pituitary or the pituitary gland, who also answers to a boss known as the hypothalamus. Ultimately, though, the thyroid is regulated by the levels of hormones found in the blood as registered in the liver gallbladder system. And so people who have thyroid issues, I know they have liver gallbladder issues because the thyroid is what helps the liver gallbladder system express what the liver gallbladder system's doing. So to give somebody a brief summary, all the hormones in your body get processed through and filtered and regulated by what goes on in the liver, because that's where all of them register, okay? And then the liver will send signals to the other endocrine glands, like your pituitary gland, your thyroid gland, your adrenal gland, your ovaries, your prostates, whatever, those glands associated with the endocrine system. But the thyroid specifically is the gland associated with your ability to express your truth. And when you don't express your truth, when you become emotionally repressed, well, that's a liver gallbladder emotion. So at the end of the day, emotionally, the connection between the liver gallbladder is expressed to and through or not expressed by your thyroid. So thyroid issues actually start in the liver gallbladder system. And I don't know that there's an endocrinologist out there that understands that fully unless they've taken some advanced integrative medicine kind of stuff to understand those relationships. But most of what's taught in the endocrine profession doesn't consider the relationships other than the gland itself. You have a thyroid issue, you're going to get put on Synthroid or Armour Thyroid. No ifs, ands, or buts, no questions, no further testing, no nothing. I actually had a patient tell me that they asked their endocrinologist to order a reverse T3 problem, and they were told by their endocrinologist that reverse T3 is a worthless test. And I said, no, it's not worthless. It's actually very valuable. It tells me at what state of immune system function your thyroid gland is in. And when one has a reverse T3 problem, it tells me that you need to address that if you want the thyroid ever to recover. If you're not willing to order the test, then you're not doing a complete evaluation for your patient, and you're actually doing your patient a disservice.
Now, the thyroid is important in terms of your metabolism, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So does it control your metabolism so that, you know, for weight gain or weight loss or anything like that?
Well, it does have an aspect of that. Hormones regulate organs, and organs is what does the actual work. Now, they could not work without hormones of the endocrine system, so we need there's a codependence that goes on there, okay? We have the producers of the hormones that stimulate the organs, and the organs are the ones that do the work and send signals back and let the glands know whether they need to produce more or not. And all of that's regulated through hormones and proper production. So, for instance, with the thyroid is downregulated from the hypothalamus, which when the body has enough sufficient fat and protein within it, manufactures hormones. Those hormones are registered by the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus downregulates and controls the pituitary. The pituitary is considered the master gland that then downregulates to the thyroid as far as metabolism and heart rate goes, as far as your adrenals and blood pressure goes, as far as your ovaries and uterus go if you're a female, or your testicle prostates as far as if you're a male. And then there's the endocrine portion of the pancreas, which helps to regulate blood sugar, even though that's directly controlled by the liver. So there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of partnerships that go on. But at the end of the day, your thyroid hormone is the primary regulator of metabolic processes and body temperature within the body. And if the thyroid's working properly, you'll have a normal metabolism, mm-hmm. and you'll have normal body temperature. For people who get cold all the time, cold hands, cold feet, they're just cold. They always need a sweater or an extra shirt or something like that. Those people probably are dealing with a low-functioning thyroid, and the medical tests may not actually indicate that because they use such a wide range of what's considered normal before they think that it's abnormal. Because when it's abnormal, they want to know definitively that it's abnormal. So they'll let it go really long before they determine that it's normal. That way they know that they have something to treat.
That's something I've noticed about in your practice is that your range of what you consider to be healthy is different than what medicine tends to say is normal.
Right,
that
because
there's a narrower range.
There's a narrower band for health versus the wider band, which says that you don't qualify for medical treatment. That's called functional illness range. Mm-hmm. And then you have full-blown disease, and it's the full-blown disease that they can get paid for. So what you've probably noticed, because I think you've mentioned this in the past, you've noticed that what's happened to those ranges recently?
They've gotten narrower, like
they've
the blood pressure has gotten
narrower
because
the AMA, the pharmaceutical, the government, the health insurance industry understands that guess what? If it's this wide and we're capturing this number of people, if we narrow the range, then what's waiting for us?
More people.
More people, exactly. So if it used to be 120, if you could accept blood pressure being as high as 140 over 90 as not needing medication, well, if now we lower it to 130 over 80 or even 120 over 80, we're going to capture more people. We're going to put more people on medication. If we lower cholesterol, which used to be 225, then they lowered it to 200. Now you can medically induce it to be as low as 150. So let's make the new normal 150 so that everybody has to be put on medication.
It's a strange thing and rather disturbing when you actually begin to understand what's going on with it.
Right. When you understand the truth, you can avoid the pitfalls of what you're trying to be pushed or pulled into doing mm-hmm. that you don't really have to do if
but
you know
what
you're talking
about. But
you
need to have somebody that you can talk to that understands things at this other level, because if you just simply rely upon the physicians that you go to and they're relying upon the rules that are being set up for them to have to follow, they're not necessarily considering all the things that go into what it means to be healthy.
No, they're not considering that because they're not paid to keep people to be healthy. They're paid to treat people so that they can get the remuneration that's set up within the system. So this is old now in terms of what we talk about, mm-hmm. but it's about what's the profit margin? Not what's in the best interest of the patient, but how much money can we make off of the patient because they got this little piece of plastic that says this is what we're going to use for payment.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes about monetizing the person and not necessarily doing what's in the best interest of the person.
Now, so back to the thyroid, what are some of the things that impact the health of the thyroid?
Not speaking your truth is probably the thing that impacts the thyroid the most. Repressed anger, frustration, resentment, emotional repression, those are the things that impact the thyroid most. And your failure to express how you feel, which is the byproduct of repressing those things.
That's so interesting because, you know, we're talking about something that produces hormone. And if you think about it, the one that people are probably the most familiar with in terms of being able to recognize its effect is the one that stimulates our attraction to the opposite sex or the same sex if you're gay, but the thing that promotes that kind of passion in you, and that is so consuming, and we accept that if you fall in love with somebody that it's just an overwhelming sensation, but we don't necessarily attach that to health, but you do.
Well, yeah, what's important for us is we are spiritual beings, we are emotional beings, and we are physical beings known as human beings, okay? And as a emotional, spiritual being, we engage in our environment, and if we have success, we feel happy. if we don't succeed, we feel sad or possibly angry or possibly fearful, or depending upon what's what. At the end of the day, we want to feel happy. We want to feel healthy. We want to feel balanced. We want to feel harmonious. That's ideal. Okay. But when life pushes up against us and we don't have the necessary tools, we don't have the necessary understanding, we don't have the proper building blocks, whatever the case happens to be, to maintain balance and harmony, then we get what? We get disharmony and we get dis-ease. My job is to understand why a person has developed disease. And so we have a technique in the office that we use to evaluate what the emotional reality is of an individual. Probably unconscious, but sometimes the people are conscious of it. But there's a way that we can ask specifically about what is the emotional state of this particular person, and are those emotions, once we identify what they are they contributing to the imbalance that's affecting how they function? So what's interesting is I mentioned repressed anger.
Right.
Okay. Affecting how the thyroid functions. Because if you repress how you feel, are you truly saying how you feel?
No.
No. You're doing the opposite of saying how you feel. You're keeping
concealing it
in. Because we were all raised. It's interesting. My mom was of the generation that if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And the phrase of the day back when she was a kid is children were to be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mom lost her thyroid when she was 19 because it had blown up so much she had so much repressed anger. Okay, and so she lost her thyroid when she was 19, and back in the day in the early 1960s, they didn't have any understanding of the body-mind connection and how all of this relates.
And it's so interesting because emotions are such a powerful part of what it means to be human, yet, like I said, I mean, and because the emotions affect the hormonal system, I mean, the hormones release chemicals, and if you become afraid, your adrenal glands immediately release the chemicals that then cause your fight or flight response.
Right, and impact how the kidneys function because fear is a kidney-based emotion.
Right, right. So these are, it's very important to health. So it's important, I think, for people to consider how much emotions play a part in this. And when you're not dealing with your emotions, you can create health problems.
Right, and so what's interesting, and I don't know if you want to ask this question or not, but I'm going to bring it to the table just because it dovetails with what we're talking about right now. One of the things that a lot of people develop is they develop thyroid nodules.
Hmm.
And you go to your endocrinologist, your thyroid specialist, and they say, well, you have a nodule. We want to biopsy it, which is just a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's like, oh, you're checking to see if I have cancer. Doesn't mean you're going to find cancer. But whether you have cancer or whether you don't have cancer, it's not going to change what needs to be done as far as the person with the problem has. The person who has the problem has years of repressed emotion that is congealed into what's called a thyroid nodule. If you stimulate the thyroid the right way, the nodules will go away on their own. And I've seen that countless times over the last 30 years in patients in my office. It's like they come to me and they say that I have thyroid nodules. And I'm like, okay, well, if you do these things and, you know, I'm going to ask you to go do something that nobody will ever tell you to do. And I took a woman with a big goiter. And she was a Jehovah's Witness and wasn't willing to allow me to do the standard things that I would do on her because of her, you know, spiritual belief system. And I'm like, okay, I got to find another workaround. So I helped her to appreciate the fact that she probably wasn't expressing her truth because she was involved in a marriage to where her husband didn't embrace her faith as the way that she did. He'd follow along with her, but he didn't really embrace it. Mm-hmm. And that was frustrating for her because it was very impassioned for her and she would want to talk about it with him, but he wasn't really interested. And so what did she do? She swallowed her ability to express her truth for a number of years, and she eventually developed this goiter. And so I told her, I said, I want you to go find songs that stimulate you emotionally, and I want you to sing them. I want you to find the emotional songs that help you to feel the kind of match the emotions that you're feeling that you're not expressing. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to sing them. I'm asking you to try out for American Idol or Voice or anything like that. I don't care what you sound like. I just need you to express
that.
And when she went through the process of expressing over the next 3 to 6 months, guess what happened?
That goiter went away.
Her goiter went away. No surgery. No medication, no nothing,
no
just
medicine.
Expressing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
I had a woman who came to me who developed a goiter overnight. She was fine yesterday. This morning, she had a goiter. She came into my office that afternoon. We did what we needed to do. We found the irritant, and the following morning, her goiter was gone. That's trapped energy, Mark.
Yeah.
It's not a physiological thing. If you leave it long enough, it's going to become physiological, and it may become a nodule, which is a condensed conglomeration of cells. That's trapped emotion. Get rid of the emotion, and the nodule goes away.
Amazing. Amazing. This is a very fascinating conversation, Dr. Rick. We need to take a short break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions. I'd like to understand this topic a little better.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. I'd like to help you, the listener. Please consider what this next commercial says, and if you have a health concern, please do what it says, and I look forward to meeting you.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And we started the show today talking about stomach health, and now we've shifted over into thyroid health. And
so much of the conversation has turned to the emotions. And you know, both the stomach and the thyroid are really attached to emotions. I mean,
every organ and every gland is attached to emotions. That's where the emotions actually live. So self-esteem is the stomach spleen emotion, and feeling lost or vulnerable or I don't know, emotional repression, those kinds of things, those are associated with thyroid and some of the mm-hmm. endocrine organs, and the emotional repression is a liver emotion. And so there's a lot of overlap as far as what effect they have. But different neuropeptides that carry the emotions are stored in the organs and glands. And
mm-hmm. I mean, because you certainly have gut feelings, you know, you immediate sensation of what feels right or doesn't feel right.
Right, and that's a sense of vulnerability, and that's actually a small intestine emotion, which is in your gut, but it's not mm-hmm. necessarily stomach, which people think of as their gut. So
okay.
Vulnerability, a gut feeling, is more a small intestine than it actually is your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. So there are two things that go on with the thyroid that are common. One is called hypothyroidism, and the other is hyperthyroidism. What is the difference between those two things?
Well, hyper, meaning overstimulation. Okay, mm-hmm. hyper. It's functioning too fast. Always precedes hypothyroidism. So your body is going to take a response. And the response is when things aren't being processed properly, well, if we try to make it work harder and faster, mm-hmm. okay, maybe that will clear the problem. The challenge is if it doesn't clear the problem and you continue to have the same stress, you're eventually going to burn it out, and then it's going to change from hyperthyroid to hypothyroid. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times a person comes in and they say, I was just diagnosed hypothyroidism. And I'm like, okay, do you ever have a period of time where you remember being hyper? And they're like, no, my endocrinologist didn't mention that. Well, in order to have hypothyroidism, you're going to be hyper before you're hypo. You just may not manifest it in a way that you even know, because you're just trying to keep up with life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes putting more pressure on the gas pedal, in essence, being hyper, is just simply trying to keep up, so you don't recognize it as being hyper. Mm-hmm. But you'll recognize hypo because now you have low functioning.
Uh-huh. Now, I understand that there are thyroid issues that are very particular for women who are pregnant, who want to be pregnant, want to become mothers, that there are considerations there as well.
Well, there is. And you know, sometimes you get a thyroid issue as a result of after just having a child. It's like postpartum thyroid issues. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you get thyroid issues while you're pregnant. And that all has to do with the level of control that a mother has. Let's say a mother is the mother for the first time, and they've always wanted to be a mother, but now you have this baby, this independent creature, if you will, this child that you don't have the ability to understand and control the way that you would like to. Why? Because they're brand new, and you've never been a mother before, and you don't know. And so you want to do the right thing. You want to be a loving, caring, nurturing mother, and sometimes you just finish changing the baby and everything's good and you get them set, and 20 seconds after you've changed them, they crap their diaper again, and now you got to change them again. Or now you change them thinking that would get them to stop crying, and look, they're still crying. And it's like, okay, what happens to the mother over time if she's got to deal with that all day, every day?
Sure, and sleep deprivation that goes along with
she's eventually going to get worn down by it. And a lot of times that may create repressed emotion. Mm-hmm. And she can't yell at the child because the child doesn't know any better.
Right.
Not that I haven't seen parents yell at their child when the child doesn't know any better. It doesn't stop the parent from yelling at them. But, you know, if you're trying to do the right thing, then you're putting a lot of stress in your thyroid. Plus, okay, if you're not breastfeeding, okay, that may be another reason why you're not restoring your metabolism back to normal, which could also suppress how your thyroid functions. And, you know, there's a very important reason for breastfeeding, because it helps to normalize the hormones and get everything working again. There's a reason for why God created a thing called breast milk, and it's there to feed the child, and you should definitely breastfeed, even if your obstetrician doesn't tell you how to do it or doesn't talk about it or gives you the parting gift from the hospital with a bag of different formulas, and it's easier to use formula than it is to breastfeed. No, as a mother, new mother, as a soon-to-be mother, really take the time to learn about how to properly breastfeed. And if you're having issues, come talk to somebody like myself who can get those functions to be normal so that you can nourish your kid. You're your child's first source of fuel.
And there are a lot of resources out there for supporting women that want to breastfeed.
Absolutely.
Well, this is a great conversation. We're running out of time. I'm sure we didn't answer a lot of questions that people have. If somebody wants to reach out to you and find out the answer to their particular situation, whether it's a stomach and thyroid issue or whether it's something completely unrelated to what we talk about here on the show, you will treat a host of different health issues and bring people back into a healthy relationship with them, their bodies, their minds, their spirits. If they want to reach you, what's the best way to get you?
The best way is to get a hold of me by calling me via my cell phone. It is that little contraption that's sitting on the table in front of me. It is the best and most efficient way to get a hold of me, because I'm the one that answers it. The best way to get a hold of me is to call that directly. The phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class every Tuesday evening at 6:30. Please call for reservations, or you can just come in and have a consultation with me, and let's address whatever your health concerns are. It's not normal to have sickness. It's not normal to have health concerns. It's very common, but it's not normal. And if you're dealing with a health concern that you're not getting the answers that you need from your medical practitioner, and you're not satisfied with the kind of direction that they're pushing you in or pulling you in, by all means, have a sit down with me. I will help you understand your problem. The only caveat I would say is I'm not going to treat you. I'm going to address your concern in the most direct, pragmatic way. And it's not about treatment. It's about restoring balance. And once we restore balance, then we don't have to, quote, treat you anymore. It's problem solved. And so I would ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. I really appreciate you tuning in, and look forward to speaking to you again next week. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill.
on top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test.